Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water. And that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water. And all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected, and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till he comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
Gwamnati ta ji tausayin mu ba abinci bojoji su koma
let me find a cover first.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was, and for those of you that are listening, I know you're not able to see it, but you can hear, that was scenes from Nigeria and from events that just recently took place. And my next guest is going to talk with us about those events. Masara, you're muted at the moment, dear brother. If you can possibly unmute your phone. There we go. I am really pleased to have back to the program. Oh, his picture just popped out. It'll come back in a second. I'm very pleased to have back to the program. He is on the ground live in Nigeria. My brother in Christ, Masara Kim. Masara, welcome. It's good to have you.
Hi, Pastor Craig. It is indeed a pleasure to be back on the show. Just about 2 months ago, we talked on this show, and I'm back again. And I appreciate the privilege, the opportunity to share my experiences, and of course, my concerns regarding the persecutions of Christians in Nigeria.
Well, and I'm so pleased to have you with me. And part of the reason that we want to make sure, and folks, I'm just going to encourage you, please, as you see this, please share this. It is critically important that we at this time share what's happening in Nigeria, for literally to protect the life of Masara and his family. This needs to be shared everywhere because they're trying to hide this. I just played the Mangu piece that you sent me, the 42 seconds, the Mangu piece. Next, I'd like to play another one of the images that you sent to us. There's an image on here, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the thing. I would love to share this image with you. It's the image of a man who has been run over and murdered that's lying on the ground. Here's the problem, and this is what happened to me. I shared. We had a woman in India who was engaged to a man, and when he found out that she was Christian and lower caste, he and his family coerced her to come visit him, and then they cut her head off.
and her family recovered the body and stitched her head back on, and I showed pictures of that, and my broadcast of that was suspended on social media. So I don't want this to be suspended, but there are other videos that he has sent me that I am going to show all of, including what I just showed you, that clearly show you what is happening. And so let's play this next clip, and then I'd like for you to describe what it is we're watching. It appears to be that they are burying bodies in a mass grave. Is that correct? Where they're burying bodies in a mass grave?
Yeah, of course. That's the funeral of more than 50 residents murdered on the 16th of May, 2023. The same day my team came under attack by a band of more than 500 armed terrorists, some 42 miles south of my city, the city of Jos, which is the capital of Plateau State in central Nigeria. I was actually on my way to cover that mass funeral when my team came under attack at a place called Juak Maitumbi in the Mangu County. And you perhaps have another clip that shows a village burning, and there are some gunshots, sounds of gunshots in
yes.
the background.
Hang on a second. Let me go ahead and all right. So this is the clip. Let me I'm going to play that again. This is the clip of the. You can see the smoke rising, and you can see the small buildings with tin roofs, and this is one. This is the village that was on fire. Is that right, Masara? Oh, you're muted again, brother. You're muted again. There we go.
Yeah, that is the village I'm talking about. You can see the smoke rising from the houses.
Yeah.
And elsewhere, you will see, I was taking cover behind a truck, a police truck, where I was able to film just some bit of the violence when my team came under attack. You can hear the gun blasts and just animals trying to escape the violence. So the clip you talked about that you said you cannot show was of a man who was in my team who was shot during their attack on my team, actually, on the 16th of May.
And I don't know if you can hear it or not, but I'm playing that clip. Folks, you can hear those are animals that are screaming, they're crying, they're trying to get away from these soldiers the terrorists that are shooting at them at this point. And then you can hear the gunfire in the background as they're all trying to flee the scene that Masara is talking about. I can't even hardly imagine the memories that has to bring back for you as you hear those sounds, and I play that video.
It was a harrowing experience, really, that was unfortunately repeated on the 30th of July, when I filmed that clip of the violence in Mangu, the one I named Mangu Violence. Those were actually soldiers shooting at unarmed civilians who were protesting a massacre, a village massacre that occurred just 1 mile from a forward operating base. So they gathered to demand explanations, to demand accountability over that incident, that attack, and the soldiers decided to respond with that kind of gunfire. The sound you hear is in that clip is not from a regular a regular assault rifle, what's it called now? 7.62 mm by 39 mm rifle, round or something. It's actually a high caliber machine gun round. I think it was an AA because there were actually two anti-aircraft guns attached to it, an armored personnel carrier truck, and those were the weapons that the soldiers used to disperse unarmed protesters. And toward the end of the clip, you should see a man being carried by a group of youths. He was actually shot in that during that violence by the soldiers. And there were two others who were also killed and several others who were wounded. Incidentally, that violence started just while I was filming. I was recording an interview with a woman. So you look through that, in that clip, you should see at a particular point toward the end of it where the woman was talking and then all of a sudden come gunshots in the background. She tried to duck for cover.
Yeah, it's just really stunning to watch what took that. You can see them. You've got it notated. John Tonko, victim shot and crushed with truck, is conveyed to the mortuary. Yeah. And there's an image of him being carried, and a woman with who's having her, someone's holding something to the top of her head. Nankling, yeah. Domshak, Army's victim, is conveyed by van to the hospital. I mean, it's really quite terrible.
Let me find a cover first. Yeah, so the voice you hear in the background there, you could hear me saying I needed to get a cover, to find a cover, because My colleague was calling for me to run and escape, but I told him, look, I can't. He first called my name. I'm somewhere in the beginning. Hear him saying, Masara, where are you? Because we were all confused. You know, it was really a chaotic situation, and he was concerned for my safety, and he was, you know, looking out for me. Masara, where are you? And I told him, he wanted us to just run to the car, but I told him, look, it wasn't unsafe. I just needed to find cover because I needed to get the violence. I needed to film it. As brutal and as scary as it was, I was ready to risk everything just to make sure that the world gets a bit of it, like a snippet of what it tastes like to undergo, I mean, to live in Nigeria under what appears to be a tyrannical, a terrorist-sympathizing government that not only protects the terrorists, and turns a blind eye to the violence that they are carrying out, the massacres, the persecutions, but itself uses violence to suppress discerning voices, the voices of the victims who are daily being massacred, you know, the vulnerable communities, and also introduce a number of policies that seek to further suppress and oppress Christians. So it's a multifaceted kind of persecution that we are facing here, partly from the terrorists and partly from the government.
And I think that as I understand it, right, we want to make sure that folks are aware and understand that the president of Nigeria is a Muslim. Who initially came into office saying, "Oh, I'm a man of peace, and I'm here to unify the country," and he convinced some Christians to vote for him initially by telling them that he was their friend and that he would protect their farms and protect their rights. But in the time that he has been in office, in point of fact, Nigeria has become more of an Islamic state, not a free republic like it was under Christian leadership and in the past, not any form of democracy at all, but rather an Islamic authoritative dictatorship. And they have created a narrative that would lead one to believe that it's the Christian farmers that are the problem, when in fact it is, again, these terrorists supported now, and you've got, this is the evidence we're presenting to you folks today, supported by the Nigerian military under the direct order of the president of Nigeria. We now have irrefutable evidence to present to the international community that the president of Nigeria is a part of and engaged in Christian genocide. And we are demanding that the United Nations and that America in particular condemn these actions and demand justice.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that you talk about what roles the United Nations and the United States can play in bringing these atrocities to an end, and of course bringing the Nigerian authorities, who have proved by all standards, by all accounts, to be culpable, to account. However, it appears that Christians in Nigeria were and are still a lot more unsafe with or under the administration of Joe Biden. I mean, America has over the years built a reputation of the protector of human rights, a reputation of the world police, ensuring that global best practices are maintained, human rights are protected, religious rights are protected all over the world. But that seems to have collapsed over the years with the grasp of the American political system by the Democrats, particularly under the administration of Joe Biden. It was under Joe Biden that Nigeria was declared to be a country where human rights are not violated, religious rights are not violated. In October of 2020, former President Donald Trump listed Nigeria as a country of particular concern, simply to send a signal to the Nigerian authorities that whatever you are doing, we're watching. The world is watching. And we care about the religious rights of citizens of that country as significant as it is in the African region. I mean, the African continent, and of course, the West African region. You know, that decision was driven by tons of evidences from within and outside Nigeria, those who have been watching and documenting the genocide, the persecutions that were ongoing under the administration of former President Muhammadu Buhari. But when Joe Biden came, within months, he delisted Nigeria as a country of particular concern. And since that decision, more Christians have been massacred in Nigeria. At the moment, we're counting more than 15,000 Christians that have been murdered by the terrorists who are protected, are enjoying protection by the Nigerian, authorities, who, by the way, sometimes, even when they arrest them, they release them without any charges, and instead go after the victims, the vulnerable Christians, and still disarm them of the homemade single-shot pipe guns that they usually fabricate just to defend themselves. Sometimes they're not even enough. They're usually outnumbered and outgunned, and they can't even, whatever they have is not even enough to withstand the number of terrorists that usually swarm their communities. But those little and seemingly insignificant weapons of self-defense are usually taken away.
I mean, I'm going to give you a couple of instances. As I speak with you, a young man from my village is in the detention of the military for having fabricated a homemade, I mean, fabricated by hand, actually, at home, a pipe gun that uses cartridge. It barely even covers up to 50 meters, you know, to defend himself after terrorists killed his brother and his father 2 months ago. So they just got to know that he had something like that, and they swooped in on him and picked him. On that same day, they arrested other terrorists with assault rifles in other parts of the state, but those terrorists have been freed. No charges whatsoever, and I believe that their weapons have been returned to them. This young man is still there, helplessly languishing in jail. No one to come to his aid. Remember that his parents were killed, his entire village has been buried, I mean, ravaged, and he does not have anything and anyone to survive on. So he only has a very small plot of farm that he usually carries this pipe gun to go protect. But now it's been taken away, and he himself has been taken, you know, has been put in jail. And his widowed mother is there crying day and night. She just keeps calling me by phone, pleading for me to do something to help her child to get out of jail and at least assist with the family needs, because he's the only male child and he's the only one they could, you know, depend on. Now, the Biden administration has removed, you know, Nigeria as a country of particular concern, and by so doing, told the Nigerian authorities that you can continue whatever you are doing. It is right. We are acceptable, you know, accepting it. It is acceptable by us. And no matter the number of people that get killed under you, it is still okay. And that's why the massacres have continued, and the Nigerian authorities are responding the way they are responding. They have responded in that clip on the 30th of July. Now, I was talking about how the Nigerian Christians are feeling, I mean, are increasingly feeling unsafe. Before now, Christians could call out to the American authorities to say, please, we need your help. And usually, under President Trump, I mean, I remember a particular incident where Trump categorically and bluntly asked the president, President Muhammadu Buhari at that time, why are you persecuting Christians? Why are you killing Christians? And, well, it didn't stop the attacks, didn't stop the persecutions, but it reduced them to, you know, a considerable level. But under President Biden, things have changed and things have continued to grow worse. And I think that somehow the more the American populace remain mute and unconcerned about what is going on in Nigeria, the more they get exposed to similar threats, maybe in the future. I mean, I have increasingly and continue to follow the migrant crisis in the South, or the Northern Triangle, is that what it's called in the United States. And I am aware that in states like New York, not only are, you know, these migrants, or the growing population of migrants, not only is it posing, you know, threats to the economy of that state, but it is also threatening to decimate, you know, the local population. And I think that's exactly what is going on in Nigeria. The American authorities and other unconcerned world governments have encouraged the Nigerian authorities to continue to allow foreign mercenaries, terrorists, to influx the country and uproot communities and replace them. Right now, we have more than 1,000 Christian communities that have been taken over and are currently being occupied by terrorists. The same thing is happening in the United States presently, well, in a number of states.
Repeat that again, because I think that's important for people to understand that you know, we have these policies in these very liberal areas where they are basically saying we're gonna change, you know, the demographics, and we're gonna just by the government's hand, we're gonna move people around from neighborhood to neighborhood, because we think that that's what needs to happen. And what you're saying is that this is a dangerous, dangerous precedent, because that is what has happened in Nigeria. They are literally taking Christian land, land that belongs to Christians, and they are giving it to terrorists.
Exactly. I mean, former President Muhammadu Buhari did admit several times that the terrorists, the vast majority of the terrorists attacking and taking over communities in Nigeria, come from as far as Libya, Niger, Chad Republic, and other states that are almost 100% Muslim, right? And but then they are not doing anything to stop that. Instead, they have continued to introduce policies that seek to legalize these illegal immigrations and illegal occupations of native lands, Christian lands, and Christian communities in Nigeria. And it is increasingly shrinking the population of Christians in Nigeria. Just only few communities or few cities now have a handful of Christians that are still able to survive and feel safe. The vast majority of those who live in the rural areas are increasingly under attack, chiefly staged from the communities that have been taken over, you know, by these terrorists. And like you did say, and like I did say also, this is practically the same thing happening. If you are in America, 6,500 miles away, and you feel that you are safe, and whatever happens in Nigeria does not concern you, just know that the same government in America is the same government encouraging the atrocities in Nigeria, encouraging the authorities in Nigeria to allow policies to implement policies that allow terrorists to flood, you know, flood into the country and take over communities, right? And remember also that they are not just doing the same thing by, you know, doing so. I mean, they are not only encouraging that to happen in Nigeria, they are also encouraging migrants, millions of them, about 2 million so far in the last 2 or 3 years, to sneak into America, and also pose threats to the indigenous or original American citizens in a couple of states. I've read concerns by the mayor of New York City, where he was talking about how this migrant crisis, you know, are threatening to decimate, you know, local populations and even the local economy and all that. And it is increasing. I mean, it is going to be almost the same thing, because the vast majority, I mean, among these migrants are also terrorists, people who are never checked, people whose backgrounds no one knows of,
right,
and people who are likely to, in turn, take up arms and want to do the same thing that their counterparts in Nigeria are doing. Moreover, it is the same group of people, or at least people who belong to the same ideology, that are carrying out or implementing policies that are allowing these kind of migrations. The Biden administration, when it came on board, said that it was going to correct or upturn what it considered to be the unfriendly decisions or policies of the former Donald Trump administration. But what we're seeing actually is that increasingly the rights of America and the safety of America is also increasingly getting threatened.
It's a perspective. It's a perspective. Yeah, it's a perspective. You know, they're turning away what they consider to be unfriendly policies are unfriendly to those who would do harm to the nation of America, and that would do harm to the Christians in Nigeria. And so you know, I mean, you need look no further. Look at this gigantic deal that he just did to hand one of the greatest terrorist nations in the world, Iran, $6 billion, when we know for a fact that Iran already has nuclear capabilities, and now we've handed them the finances to be able to deliver nuclear strikes around the world against every single one of their purported enemies. That includes Nigerian communities, that includes communities in the United States, that includes Israel, that includes everywhere around the world, Syrian Christians, the Armenians, everywhere around the world where there is a people of faith, and they have targeted Christians and Jews in particular because they know that we as people of faith are the greatest threat to their devil. And that's what it is. They worship a devil. And we know that the power of Jesus Christ is saving Muslims around the world as well. And we rejoice in that. We rejoice in that. But we also must, by policy, make certain that Christians are defended and have a means of defense, and that these nations that are trying to exterminate are called to account, so we don't end up with another, Roman situation like we had we've had in history, where Christians are gathered together and thrown into Colosseums to be devoured. And in a manner of speaking, that's exactly what this video that we're showing you depicts. Christians are herded into their villages, and then their villages and the Christians are murdered in mass and burned to destroy evidence of the massacres that they're doing. It is horrific. Masada, we're going to take a very short break. This break, folks, I want to tell you something. We are supported by our sponsors, Patriot Mobile. We greatly appreciate them. We're also supported by your interest in taking care of your own personal health. And that's why I present CGR Wellness to you. I take these products. They have made, for a guy that is my size with all of the damage and the injuries that I've had and everything else that's happened in my life, there's only two reasons that I'm sitting here in front of you able to do this. The number one reason is God Almighty and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And the number two reason is because he has shown me what to put into this temple to keep it healthy. And I do it every single day. Every single day. Every single day. And I encourage you to do the same, and here's how you can do it, and I'll be back right after this break.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. and it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Be good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now, there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here, and we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. And we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies, superfood liquid multivitamin. You click on that. And you're going to order, I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio, and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months' worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultra Shot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use this is your apple cider vinegar. And this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. I'm going to run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultra Shot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My very special guest is Masara Kim, Nigerian journalist. And folks, we really are exposing the events. And those of you that are watching can see this on the screen. These are actual live, they were live, but these are pictures that were taken. You can find these videos up at truthnigeria.com. Truthnigeria.com is where they are putting out the reality of what's happening. But this was at a protest that Masara Kim, my guest, attended, and he was there when the military, the Nigerian military, not the terrorists, but the Nigerian military itself rolled in and began shooting at the citizens of this community, only the Christians, shooting at the Christians in this Christian community, and running over with their trucks protesters, and you see them carrying off a body, you see them covering a woman whose head was injured, and so Masara, you and I were just talking in the break about the impact that we can have. And ladies and gentlemen, again, I just encourage you, we the people can have an impact in Nigeria and around the world. We're a Christian nation. They don't want us to know that. They want to steal that identity from us. But we are a Christian nation. And when the lion roars, the world listens. And they want to muffle that roar. And you were talking about what the Biden administration has done to open up the door and allow this and send a signal to these terrorists and to the devil that the world is now his and there's going to be no interference. Talk to me about your conversation that you've had as you've tried to bring this to attention. I know you've been put under threat. I know that you and your family have been threatened. And I thank you, and folks, I ask you, please remember Masara Kim and his family and Truth Nigeria in your prayers every day for their protection and for continued courage and for them to have a voice. But talk to me about your interaction with, even with the Nigerian military, regarding these issues.
Yeah, as I speak right now, I am unable to reach even the information office, the spokesman of the Nigerian military in Plateau State, and that's my state, because on the 30th of July, when I filmed that violence, the shooting of unarmed protesters, in the city of Mangu, a predominantly Christian city, you know, some 42 miles south of Jos, I texted him some queries, and he blocked my line, and I'm now unable to reach him from my personal phone lines, whether by text or by WhatsApp or any other means. Some two months ago, I had an encounter with him when a similar protest occurred or was held some 15 miles southwest of Jos after another group of six young men making a living at a local artisanal mining camp were killed just some 2 miles from a military base, a prominent military base at that. He called me. he called me as soon as he saw my report of my reporting of that protest in Epoch Times. He called me and tried to challenge me for exposing the Nigerian military, according to him, in bad light. He said I was projecting the Nigerian military in bad light, and he tried to make me feel that I was encouraging Westerners to have evidences to victimize Nigeria, or reasons to victimize Nigeria. And of course, me, I'm quoting him this time. He said, "Do you know that Americans do not care? So you telling them these things, how do you think it's going to affect you? Because at the end, if they decide to take any decision, it's going to also affect you. So why don't you stop this unpatriotic," I'm quoting him now, "unpatriotic reporting of your military in bad light." And I told him, look, I am not reporting anything in bad light. I am not trying to smear the image of the Nigerian military. I am simply trying to expose the rot, the corruption, the evil within the system that, if allowed, could even consume you who is speaking. And when I say that, he hung up the call. And it's practically the same thing that happened on the 20th of September 2020, when I was jailed. I was put behind bars by the Nigerian Secret Police, the Department of State Services, which is the equivalent of the U.S. FBI, I think. They put me behind bars for simply reporting on some planned attacks on Christian communities in Plateau State and the surrounding states of the Middle Belt. By the way, that can be checked out. I mean, it's on Google, it's online. Anyone can verify that. They held me for what they called incitement, cyber stalking, and they showed me actually a four-count or five-count charge. And I told one of the officers, a Muslim actually, who was interrogating me, I told him, listen, you can do everything. He said he was going to put me in jail without trial, and I was never going to see light of day. And I told him, listen, if you think that I am only doing this for myself, just watch it. It's going to come back to you one way or another for taking sides with the terrorists and for showing that you are on the same page. And he slapped me. 24 hours later, he led an operation to the south of, some 80 miles south of my city. He led an operation to arrest some gun runners, and he was killed in that operation. That is also verifiable. You can check that online. His name is he was Agent Mukhtar Usman, I think that's the name. But it's actually, you know, an agent of the DSS. He personally interrogated me and threatened to lock me up because he was the one in charge of the legal department at the Department of State Services at that time. You know, so I was telling this military spokesman the same thing. If you think that it's not going to come back at you, you're going to just keep covering, collaborating, or yielding to the commands of your superiors to ensure that the rights, the voices of these vulnerable people, victims of the military-supported violence, are shot, one way or another, it's going to come back to you. And he didn't find it comfortable, and he hung up the call. But
well,
then again,
Let me just jump in to say this, so that people don't misunderstand what you're saying. There's no rejoicing in the fact that this man died. The point of it is that. The compromise that he was doing and what he did, somehow he believed that this would insulate him from their violence, that this would insulate him from terrorists killing him or attacking his family. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not be insulated from the evil. The evil will find you, and the evil will injure you, lest you don't stand up and make your voice heard. That's the point. The point is that, you know, for evil to triumph, there's that old saying, right? For evil to triumph, good men need do nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, that is true. Not that is not just an American acronym. That is a truth everywhere around the world. Everywhere, evil will triumph when righteousness will not speak, and righteousness must speak. We are required by God to use our gifts, use our talents, and make our voices heard. We stand first in the authority of the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost, but he is also, and I'm just going to show you, pastor's not just talking, he's also given us weapons. And I keep mine right here underneath my desk, because I know that even though I reside in Texas and in America, there are forces that would choose to silence me. I will not be silenced quietly.
Well, thank you, Pastor Gray, for making that clarification. Indeed, there is no rejoicing in the fact that this young man died, but it is the silence, the seeming complicity, to want to keep quiet in the face of evil, or even try to shut the voices of those who are being hurt by evil or being affected by evil, that has unfortunately turned around to consume him. And that is also happening and will continue to happen even to Americans, particularly American Christians and defenders, supporters of human rights, who choose to keep quiet, to stay neutral in the face of the violence and persecutions that are happening in Nigeria. Because these terrorists are not just taking communities and just seeking to remain in those communities. They are expanding. 10 years ago, it was just about 30 communities in Plateau State that were taken. Today, it is more than 200 in Plateau State. 10 years ago, it was less than 200 communities in Nigeria that were taken by terrorists. Today, they are more than 1,000. In the next 10 to 20 years, if the policies of the present administration and the Muslim-controlled military continue, in the next 10 years, more than half of Nigeria could fall in the control of terrorists. And in the nearest future, maybe in 20 years, the whole of the country could fall in the control of terrorists. By the way, that was the agenda. That was the focus by the statements, the utterances of the supporters of the present president, whose running mate also is a Muslim. One prominent individual by the name of Nasir El-Rufai, the former governor of Kaduna State, where, by the way, thousands of Christians have been massacred without him saying a thing, recently said on national TV that prior to the election of President Bola Tinubu, that he was one of those who deceived Christians that the administration was not aimed at enforcing a Muslim rule or converting Nigeria into an Islamic empire. But now that it has happened, now that they have succeeded, they are very sure of holding Nigeria perpetually under the control of Islam.
They are boasting that Nigeria is going to be and already is an Islamic state. And ladies and gentlemen, Nigeria as an Islamic state in Africa changes the entire balance of power in that entire part of the world. Nigeria falling to Islam and becoming an Islamic state. That's why ISIS moved their headquarters, and don't think for a minute they don't exist, but that's why these entities have shifted, and they're now locking in to Nigeria to use that because it is a more convenient launching pad for them into Europe, into America, and into other parts of the world from Nigeria. And that's why they want it. We've got to jump. But folks, listen, please call your congressman, call your senators, 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Nigeria must be relisted as a country of significant concern by America. It is critical. Masara, thank you so much for being with us today. We got to jump. I've got Sam Faddis coming on, retired FBI. He'll be with us right after this brief break.